Hi guys, welcome to this new series of Q&As with new artists. In this first episode, we're going to be talking to The Sleeping Cliffs. Great that we've got you on. Tell us who you are, what you're all about, what sort of music you're doing.
Awesome. My name is Todd Gladwell. I am here representing my solo project, The Sleeping Cliffs. Something I've been doing for 2.5 years now. I have a new EP coming out starting this month. I'm going to be releasing 2 singles and then the full EP in November. And that'll be my fourth. So 2 full albums and 2 full EPs coming out here soon. So I have described it as analog, electro, acoustic rock.
Okay.
I have post-rock influenced indietronica. The basic gist of it, though, is it's very guitar, drum, and bass heavy. So like all the instruments of a rock band.
Yeah.
But I use a lot of synthesizers and a lot of I weave in a lot of electronic elements. Okay. I won't even call them EDM elements because in a lot of cases I'm just using like vintage synths and things like that.
Yeah.
But I am not trying to create something that I could play live. I am
creating whatever you want to create.
I'm creating anything that's in my brain. So that's the other like electronic piece of it is that, yeah, even though I'm using a real guitar, real bass and real drums sometimes, the end effect that ends up on the album is sometimes, I don't know, hyper experimental sometimes.
Yeah. Is it full time for you or do you do a job, day job?
Day job, definitely day job. Yeah. This is nice though. This is by far the most money and the most fans I've ever made as a musician.
Yeah.
Like a lot of my other bands have gained local infamy, but it's nice to like log into Apple Music or Spotify and see that like a lot of people in Europe listening, a lot of people in the UK listening, a lot of people in Brazil listening, Canada.
Yeah.
It's nice to kind of get that reach. And that has been a direct result of just like community building and being present on social media, because it's the only way to get fans as a solo artist that doesn't play live.
Yeah, for sure. Just to touch on the more technical side of things, what are you using in the way of DAW? Are you on a PC? Are you on a Mac? Are you using interface, mics? What are you using?
Oh, I love this question. So this is my recording studio back here.
Very cool.
I'm in my recording studio right now. So I've been using Reaper for 15 plus years, and I adore Reaper. And my day job is in software development, so I also love Reaper from a software development perspective because it's very modular, it's very customizable. If you know how to script, you can get in and automate a bunch of stuff. You can build extra tools, and they'll plug right in. And I've got all my analog gear over here. I custom built my PC, so it is a Windows machine. I use Mac for everything else, but because of the specs I wanted to build for my PC, I have a clean install of Windows with everything else uninstalled, nothing running in the background, no services like pinging up. And the case is a recording studio case, so it's super quiet in the space. And it's just really 32 gigs of RAM, 4 terabytes of SSD hard drives in there. You can't see it because it's behind the mic. I have a lot of microphones.
Yeah.
Like that's my wife jokes that's the way I spend my fun money. Like she'll.
Yeah. So I spend on guitars, sadly.
I'm not a stranger to that either.
I can see. Yeah. But microphones, it's a weird one for me, microphones. I'm sure there's lots and lots of pluses and minuses to microphones. I mean, I'm just using this SM7B for this purpose. I've got a little Neumann TLM something 103 or something.
Yeah, 103.
Which I liked for any vocals and acoustic guitars I was recording, and a couple of Rode NT somethings for like a stereo pair for acoustic guitar. And I found that kind of covers a lot of bases for what I want to do.
Yes.
So I don't get too excited about mics, but guitars.
It's funny that you say that. So like my SM7Bs right up there. Yeah.
And do you use that for vocals?
Use that for vocals. I was just recording a metal album recently because what you can't see too is I've got a little window there and that's into the drum room.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the microphones I buy are specifically for miking drums.
Yeah.
But my biggest thing recently has been ribbon microphones on guitar amplifiers. That is, to me, it's been a game changer.
Touching on your promotion, you said you'd had your stuff on Spotify and it's been on all these other things. How's that going? How have you found the route to getting that into those places and getting it to people to actually say, I want to pay for it?
Have I found the secret? So for like, And the answer is no, I have not figured out the secret. Mm. But in 2 years, you know, like it's a long game. So in 2 years, I, as of this morning, because I check my stats all the time, I have 103 followers on Spotify, usually somewhere between 100 and 300 monthly listeners. Bandcamp Friday was on Friday. I made $37 from people buying singles, EPs, my full discography. The Bandcamp Friday before that, I made $70.
But do you do any promo for that particular thing, for that Bandcamp Friday?
Yeah. I did a lot of promo on Threads. Yeah. And depending on, like, last Bandcamp Friday, I did promotion also on Instagram. And I need to get back to doing TikToks. I was really active for like a year, but I'll be honest, I never saw any growth from doing TikToks. Like, yeah, not a bit.
I use TikTok as just a little soundboard for my own guitar, little riffs, and which is great. And yeah, they get lots of traction, but it does absolutely nothing for this particular, what I'm doing with the review, with the review thing, you know?
Yeah. I feel like we're all just doing science experiments, right? And the problem with the way that social media and content creation moves right now is, even if you find a successful formula, it's not going to be a successful formula next week.
No.
It's one of the things I find so frustrating about the, like, all the media music marketing gurus out there being like, try these five things. It's like, yeah, those five things might have worked in 2023 or maybe even early 2024, but you're reporting what used to work. You're not telling me what's going to work next week. Nobody can.
Isn't that the same as any sort of investment? You know, that past history of investments is not a prediction of the future.
Right. Yes. And that's exactly, like, that's also why I don't take investing advice from people. It's a gamble. And it's not a gamble unless you're investing a lot of money, which a lot of us are. But, you know, I have found a vibrant community on Threads. I interact with those folks a lot. There's a lot of promotion that happens through that. I do use Muso Soup sometimes. I've been hosted on your website with music reviews, and so, like, I do try to get my name out there. I try to get press written about me and my songs, especially when I have new stuff coming up and coming out.
And do you do much in the way of paid ads? When you said you were on Instagram doing promo, is that paid stuff? Are you paying for those ads, or are you paying for promo?
I have before, and it was somewhat successful, but not from directing them towards my stuff, funnily enough. At one point, I created a playlist of an artist that I get compared to a lot, which is Ratatat. Mm. So I made a playlist called Ratatat Radio. I put myself on it, but I mostly put Ratatat and other artists like Ratatat. And it's a musical genre I listen to frequently. So the playlist is genuinely authentic stuff that I listen to and love. Mm. And I only put stuff on there that I thought of mine that fits with that genre. It's about 50 or 60 songs. When I ran ads for that, whole bunch of people hopped on the playlist, like liked the playlist and started playing the playlist. And then I saw my listens go kind of through the roof. Mm. But it's funny because it wasn't even an advertisement for my music.
Yeah.
That was an interesting experiment because I have run ads for my music, Instagram, Facebook ads, Google ads, trying to point them towards my YouTube site with my music videos.
Yeah.
None of them really did much. I saw little blips. Oh, yeah, 100 people watched this. And then the minute I took the ad down, I'm back to nothing.
Okay. So for me, as I said earlier, I'm doing kind of the whole review thing more than the artist thing. And I'm always looking for ways of the best way to get something for the artist. You know, I want to help them get their face and their music onto a web page or onto a website or whatever, somewhere. And I'll often share them on Instagram and all that sort of thing. And now we're looking at doing these little Q&As to try and boost people's profile. Because I think sometimes, you know, we talk on the social media sites a lot, and sometimes context can come over a little bit different to when you're physically talking to someone about what you're saying. And so sometimes it's good to see who you're talking to, understand what they're all about a little bit more. And in your view, I know we talked about it earlier, sort of before we started recording this, do you think that's, this kind of interaction is a good thing? Do you think putting people on the website is a good thing?
I love it. This, to me, because an artist in their own words, I think, is always going to be something that people can connect with, right? Like, I very much would love and have, like, I've watched interviews of all my favorite artists. I've watched their biographies. I've dug into their history and their past and watched their live shows and stuff like that. So, like, if you have a genuine interest in somebody's music, this kind of thing is going to connect enormously. But I think short form is the way to go now. And if this can also introduce somebody without making a 45-minute investment,
yeah,
that's also a wonderful opportunity for somebody like me, and hopefully, you know, drive traffic for somebody like you to other opportunities to introduce themselves to other artists. Yeah. Like,
are these things that people can be attracted to someone as a whole rather than just their music, you know, if they like what you're about and the style of what you talk about and how you conduct yourself and all that sort of thing? I think that can also add to people just saying, do you know what, I like this guy.
Yeah,
I'm not a fan of all his music, but I like what he does. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's kind of people buy into the whole picture.
I do, but it's almost like you need to figure out how to market people to that, though, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What's the soundbite from this interview?
Yeah, yeah.
Make people want to watch something longer than 7 seconds.
Yeah,
right?
Of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I haven't figured what that is yet. But this is the whole point of trying to do these sort of things, you know, and see if we can figure out a way to engage and get people to say, I want to watch a little bit more of that. And you're there. And like you say, I always work on the basis that it is a race. It's a marathon of, you know, on a galactic scale. And, you know, and people will fall away. I see all the time on threads.
Yep.
I'm giving up. I've had enough of this. Nobody's listening.
And I get it, right? I get it. I want to say this just before I say my other piece. Like, I get it. It feels like screaming into the void sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I get that sometimes you look at your stats, if you're a person that looks at your stats, which I think a lot of us are.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, nobody's listening sometimes. And you, like, I get that sometimes marketing is tough and it is painful to make or to think of, and it's time consuming and it's expensive. So like, all of those things combined, I completely get it when artists are just like, I'm done.
Okay. So touching on what we said again, we were off recording at this point, but we'll come back to it. What do you think being a solo artist now, because there's so many solo artists, so many people working from the laptop, whatever, they haven't got that interaction with the band. They haven't got people around them saying, no, that sounds trash, don't do it. How do you think that's limiting people? Or do you think they're missing a trick by not having some sort of collaborative input from somewhere?
I think there's two sides of it. And one side is yes, I do think that the traditional, like having a band, having an audience that you play live to regularly is going to give you a feedback loop and a diverse set of opinions that's going to at least homogenize things
maybe influence what you do next.
Yeah. But I think you see where I'm going with this, side of things. Yeah. I think the other side is that, like the experimentation and the like interesting places people can go we open the box and people can just do whatever they want.
Sure, yeah.
Now.
Yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
Something I was thinking about on a dog walk the other day that's interesting is like, you know, I grew up with a cultural consciousness of a set of songs every year, right? Like I can pretty much talk to anybody my age and we can reminisce on the stuff that was on the radio when we were kids and when we were teenagers and when we were in middle school. And oh, do you remember the song that was always playing here and here and here? And like, I don't know that my daughters have that.
I
think that they've dispersed, and I think probably a good majority of the younger generation listens to whatever they want without there being like a central ethos of these are the popular things.
Yeah, no, that's right. And I think a lot of that comes from maybe, you know, when we used to buy, certainly when I used to buy a vinyl record, let's say, or even a cassette, you know, that cassette, let's say, would be in my car for months and months and months, and I'd be playing it every time I got in that car. Maybe I might swap it around. The vinyl, the albums would be on the record deck, and I'd play them every day I came home. And so you were sort of subjecting yourself to a lot of the same sort of thing for a longer period of time. You know, I would never got home in vinyl days and played, you know, 5 seconds of 30 songs. It just wouldn't have happened, would it?
Yeah.
It was impossible to do, really.
Yeah.
So, you know,
but I think the opportunity now, and this is kind of, again, back to the original question, I think the opportunity for people to find the exact thing that they're looking for is greater, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's probably somebody making that exact thing that you are really, really in the mood for. It's hard to find. Needle in the haystack kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Than it was previously, right? Like, it's like, oh man, I like these three bands, but there's like something in my head that I just can't quite find. So I don't know. It's a bit of everything too. And it's also just like, if you want to start making music, if you're in the mood to start making music in this day and age, and you go to YouTube, you're going to see so much advice, some of it probably good, a lot of it terrible, about how to write good songs or what formula to follow or what things to include or not include or what things to do or not do. Or if you're going to make this genre, you have to use these beats or these plugins. Or it's like, it is massively overwhelming, and so much of it is bad. It's bad advice. I don't know who's, I don't know. It's hard. We've democratized everything now, and it's just tough to figure out
for sure
if it's good or bad or somewhere in between.
Yeah. So anyway, we digress. So I'm going to finish up with a couple of more now. What do you think is the way forward for artists now? What would you think, apart from people like me and whoever else is doing things on websites and Instagram, trying to push you guys along a little bit? Is there something else that we're missing? Should something else be happening that's not happening? How do you think you could get more traction if you could, you know, without paying a fortune? What would be an ideal step for you? If somebody says, I'm going to do this, and you go, wow, yeah, that's really going to boost me now, what would it be?
That's a tough one.
I mean, what aren't you getting? What's out there that you don't think you're getting out of the whole promo social media world?
I mean, I keep saying it's a long game, because I am naturally suspicious of somebody who's been making music for 2 years and has over 100,000 fans.
No, I agree.
They went viral, they have a connection in the industry, you know, or something else. Like like, I don't have connections in the industry. I don't expect to go viral. Like, my stuff is, I'm not going to say it's weird and it's not strange and it's not super experimental, but it's not for everybody. I get that. Instrumental, electro, rock, so to me, it's just been, I've just been watching my stats just slowly, slowly go up as my music finds the right people. So.
Well, definitely. I mean, I've said it before, you know, and that's why the whole reason why we're doing what we're doing now, because visually can make a big impact immediately. And so if somebody clicks on your thing and it takes them to a website with a picture of you and a bit of blurb about what you do, they're immediately attracted by what's going on. You know, if they just end up on a Spotify page, it's like, well, you know, everyone's got a Spotify page and they all look exactly the same, don't they? Your website is your chance to give you your unique image, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which
reminds me, I should probably refresh mine. It's been a while.
Well, you know, we all get stuck. It all takes time, you know. But it's one of those things. And again, one of the conversations goes on Threads a lot. You know, oh, do I need a website? I'm not sure why, really. I don't think. Well, yes. Do you know what? I think you do, and I think. Yeah. If you're serious about what you're doing, you will invest some time in that, because I'm sure you've invested a lot of time and effort into it. You can invest as much time or as little as you want. You can go and pick one off the shelf and have it up and running in a couple of hours with the basics on. And
for very cheap nowadays too. Like I think the most expensive part of my website is the fact that I own my domain, thesleepingclips.com. I bought that, and that is going to be a recurring monthly cost or annual cost. And that's the most expensive part about it. Like I kind of did a pick off the shelf thing for a relatively inexpensive fee.
Yeah, yeah.
And then customized it. So it's, I don't know, but it all costs money, right? Like it's a little bit of this subscription, a little bit of this subscription. You
for
buy
sure.
some, you know, some video footage over here, and some of that over here. It's like it all adds up, and we don't have a lot of opportunities to make it back from the streaming services. So.
Okay, well, look, great to talk to you. I appreciate your input. I appreciate you getting on board with what I'm trying to do, helping me out, and all, again, reposting on Threads and all the rest of it. I appreciate all that sort of stuff. Wish you all the luck, and we'll touch base again in the near future, hopefully.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Tim. I really appreciate you.
No problem. No problem. I'll catch up with you
Good
another
luck
time.
With the OBS editing.
Okay, buddy. I'll catch you later.
See you, man.
Cheers. Bye-bye.